Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. On today's episode, the dudes discuss back-to-school woes and how Cameron is sick after only 1 week. Hen discusses the mental health struggles around getting back into a groove in the Sheridan household, and the dudes talk about the upcoming NFL season and take a stab at their respective teams' records. Please enjoy episode 73 of the Rude Dude Pod. If I see you look my way, I'm ringing down, down, down. And if I were you, where are you? I'd lay low. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you haters are going to hate, but you are loved. We are your favorite alcoholics, recovering alcoholics, favorite dudes, maybe in the whole wide world, maybe the best, maybe probably the best that ever did live, probably a top two out of all billions of people, two of the top two people in all the land.
Nobody's Henny done
Lokes, the lobster. Really, truly, there's not a better two podcasters in probably all the planet, probably the absolute very best. Cameron the Cree Davis, how are you there, Cam?
Well, dude, after that, I was sitting here thinking, dude, that's pretty fucking funny, because I love to just laugh at him when he says that, because everything's like, nobody's done more. The best person in the world, like nobody's done more. But
just
but
speaks
I,
in pure ultimates.
Just everything is the ultimate extreme, and I, a part of me can respect that. I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, today was a fun day. I'll delve into why a little bit later, but today was a fun little morning. I am first and foremost just absolutely fucking flabbergasted that
he's flabbergasted.
Dude, my fucking daughter has been in kindergarten for 1 week and 2 days. Okay, 1 week and 2 days. And okay. We are already sick in this house.
Oh,
she has a runny nose and a cough, and now Graham is fucking sick, bro. 1 week and 2 days.
We have
days.
Entered pink eye season for the Davis.
Bro, I am going to be... So here we are, dude. I'm now going to be sick from this point on all the way until next summer. And I absolutely cannot fucking believe it, dude. Like, I mean, what in the fuck is going on, dude? Like, literally a week and 2 days, bro. A week and 2 days. So that's how I'm doing. I'm stuffed up already. My sinuses are a little clogged, but aside from that, it's nice to be sitting here next to you, having this chat. How are you doing, brother?
Well, I think I'm still just on the very back end of recovering from the sinus infection that started from the COVID that I had when I went to the beach. But I'm glad you reminded me. Lyndon constantly brings me home diseases, so that's super exciting. And I normally am just kind of sick all winter too. So yeah, I'll probably be right there with you. I normally don't get the pink eye like you though, so that's cool.
Dude, don't put that shit on me, bro. I swear to Christ, I literally woke up this morning and, like, because kids were coughing all night and shit, I felt my eye, my right eye, and it felt it kind of extra crusty. And I was like, bro, if this is fucking conjunctivitis, I'm going to end it right now, dude, because I quite literally couldn't take it. And then I went in and I took a look, and lo and behold, it hasn't hit me yet. But I assume I'll probably have pink eye this year, bro. I mean, I wouldn't put it past me at all. Like, it's just ridiculous.
I mean, I would easily, if the line was at 0.5 times, I would easily bet the over. I'm probably still taking 1.5. For -110, I'm taking 1.5.
Dude, that's actually a pretty safe bet, dude. That's a pretty safe bet. I'm definitely getting pink eye or COVID at least 4 times at this rate, dude. If 1 week and 2 days we're already sick around here, we're not off to a good start, bro, at all.
Death, taxes, and pink eye, the only things you can rely on, brother.
Fucking A, dude. Fucking A, man. But it's been a good day, man. We Justin, my brother, he was on this pod with us before. He was doing a pop-up pickle stand, like a pickle bar, because we make like homemade pickles from, it's like a fifth generation recipe that was handed down from my grandma Fuchs. It came from the Wenzel family all the way from like Austria and Germany, like five generations back.
And Fuchs with that.
Yeah, you do Fuchs with that, dude. They are super fucking fire, dude. And I decided to go over there and help him shill them, dude. And when I showed up there today, luckily Henry was privy to this. He had his daughter. He bought her like a little pickle suit, right? Like this little pickle suit. Well, dude, me being the miniature man human that I am, bro, I was like, bro, give me that fucking pickle suit, bro. So I slapped this fucking little kid's fucking pickle costume on, dude. I was out there on Winding Way in Illinois, dude, and I was waving cars down. I got a bunch of people to stop, dude. It was great, dude. We were having fun. He had three separate little, like, 5-gallon tubs of regular flavor, medium spicy, and super hots, and we were ladling them into fucking jars, and once they're gone, they're gone, and you have to wait until next Sunday. And our favorite listener of all time, Scat Shah, was too late, dude. He showed up, and all the pickles were gone. And this is what you get, Scat Shah. You don't get pickles when you show up late, okay? So next Sunday, you got to show up on time. But I had a great time doing that, dude. It was a fun little excursion. People love the fucking pickles. And if you are in the Fair Oaks area, we'll be there.
Did he slang 15 gallons worth of pickles?
Yes. Yes. In two hours. In 2 hours.
Wow.
$10 a jar too.
Now, what would you rate the ratio of randos to people who knew it was happening and came on purpose?
You know, that is a little tough to gauge because he did post about it. He does have a little bit of a following. Like Justin has a presence in like the gardening and farming sector of Fair Oaks.
Slanging
pickles and tomatoes, dude. People know who he is. So he posts something about it, but I would say, dude, There were a bunch of randos. One guy literally in a sick ass Benz saw me in the pickle suit and just literally stopped on Winding Way. It was like, what are you peddling? And I was like, pickles, bro, stop on by. he came running over and fucking got some, dude. And so it was cool, bro. It was cool. And just getting it out there, man. And it's something that Justin's super passionate about. I was pretty passionate about it a long time ago. But it's cool to see it, the legacy kind of live on and get it out to other people because they're fucking the best pickles out there, bro. Have you ever had them?
I don't think I have.
Oh, bro, you're actually a fucking treat, dude. I'm going to send you a jar.
I need that hot dog.
We got spices, bro. The extra spices that he does, those are infused with like habaneros, and it's a different type of heat. It hits you on the back end and lasts for a nice long burn. They're good, dude.
This is reminding me, though, of a steadfast rule that I have, and that is if a child makes a lemonade stand, you stop every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, for one, you got a little hustler. You got someone out there that is, you know, 5, 6, 7, whatever, trying to hustle and make a buck. You got to respect it. And two, you know, if you were ever a kid and you made, you know how exciting it was when the people stopped at your stand, so... That's a hard and fast rule for me. You got to stop at the lemonade and cookie stands and stuff.
Well, dude, especially like you have a little kid out there that's probably trying to hustle for a new bike or a, you know, Minecraft or whatever the hell they're fucking trying to hustle for. Like their parents are making them go out there and earn it, be a little entrepreneur. You got to stop and support that. And dude, it was the funniest shit, and I'll get off the pickle shit, but I guess before I showed up, fucking Eliza was wearing that pickle suit, and all the cars that wouldn't stop by, she was just calling them weenies. So anytime a car wouldn't come by, I would wave at them and try to come by. She'd be like, that's a weenie. And I was like, yeah, dude, they are fucking weenies, dude. Hella people just sat there and waved at me. I looked like a fucking absolute clown, but dude, I was having the time of my life. And that's the blessing of sobriety, right? Like, I didn't give a shit, bro. I was out there in this fucking little kid's pickle suit, and we were slanging my pickles that my grandma's fucking ancestors brought over. It was fun, bro. It was fun. I heard you had a little bit of an excursion today. Why don't you tell everybody about your fucking GameStop excursion, pal? I gotta hear it.
Well, yeah, dude. First of all, so I've had an Xbox One for like a long time. I'm not really a gamer person. I used to play, you know, and then for a while at my previous house, I had an old TV that I got off like, you know, Facebook Marketplace for $40 or whatever that wasn't smart. So I was using my Xbox One as the smart TV because you can get like the Hulu, Netflix, all that, whatever. Yeah. Well, when we went to the beach, Lyndon was playing video games with her cousins, and she's like kind of into it now. And So I was like, well, I got an Xbox at my house, you know, but the controller that I had for it, the X button didn't work, which is fine for if you're using it to watch Netflix and Hulu. It's the X button turns out to be pretty important for gaming, though. And like I'd play Modern Warfare and X is reload. So when I'd want to reload, I just have to fire off the rest of my clip until it automatically reloaded, which is not convenient. But yeah, it's not ideal. But so anyway, I'm like, I gotta go. I'll go to GameStop and I'll get a couple controllers and whatever, which I've been hesitant to do because I'm not a gamer and the controllers are $65 plus.
Yeah, expensive.
And I'm like, I don't care enough. I don't want to like to spend that much money.
No.
So on my way to GameStop, I'm thinking, yeah, I bet that place is a ghost town. Like, who goes to a brick and mortar game store when, like you said, first of all, they sell every game basically online. You really don't need like a physical copy. A and B, everyone buys, like, if you want an Xbox controller, you just order it online too, unless like you need it. Yeah. But I get there, I'm looking around. I'm in there looking for games for 10-15 minutes. The same woman is at the thing checking out the whole entire time I was browsing games and stuff. And I'm thinking this is kind of weird. And, oh, well, can you check my points? And, oh, can you? No. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I get in line and I'm like, oh, Minecraft. My stepdaughter loves Minecraft. So I'm like, I gotta get her Minecraft, which is already infuriating because I own it. I already had it, but I couldn't find it. I didn't know where it was.
Okay.
Other people live there. And I said, you know what, Henry? Just get it. Just buy her the game. It's the one game she really wants. Just get the fucking game. So I did, you know, use $25, whatever.
Elite
so I circle back to go get that. That's right. Circle back to go get that. Come back. I lost another spot in line. Whatever. You know, how long can it take? This guy at the register has to describe every syllable of every possible description of, would you like to buy an extended warranty for this game? This game is used, meaning that it could be scratched or damaged. So if you have any problems with the game within the next year, you can. And he does that for every single game. He does it for every single controller, for every single person. God. And then he goes, would you like to round up to donate? Which, that's enough information. You could just stop there, pal. That's a yes or no question. We make a donation, a charitable donation. What we do is we round up to the nearest dollar. And if you would like to do a charitable donation, the one I think we most commonly go to is Make-A-Wish Foundation. And dude, when I got up there, he's like, would you like to? I said, No, I would not. I had to say it three times to get him to stop his spiel. I'm like, buddy, you've got 15 fucking people behind me because you're slower than a Walmart checker times 12. Like, so yeah, basically spent like 20 minutes in line at GameStop and then some freaking jerk off moseys out of the back. And just like is loafing around. Hey, I need your keys. Doesn't help him with this extremely long ass line that he has going on. And I don't know, top 12 worst experiences of my life. And also I spent $180. I bought three used games, two used controllers, and I spent like, I don't know what a console costs.
Dude, I couldn't tell you the last time I've been in a fucking GameStop and let alone paying $180 walking out of there. I mean, dude, I didn't even know that. GameStops are still around. I mean, the stock is still on the fucking stock market. But, dude, I guess it's a big thing. I guess West Virginia, you guys still like to do that. No one goes to GameStops out here, bro. Everything's buying digital. Like, if I'm buying anything on my Xbox, I am buying it straight off the fucking store. Or I'm using Game Pass and downloading it. Like I'm not going anywhere for that. That's the equivalent, like I said when I was texting you, of going to the bank. I'm not doing it.
I know. We are 30 years behind here. So a lot of people don't have bank accounts or like who knows, dude. But yeah. So
you guys got everybody on Chime cards out there and shit. Speaking of that, Speaking of that, dude, I saw like the greatest marketing fucking scheme for those chime cards, right? Because I watch a lot of YouTube, and it's fucking popping up, and it's literally, we'll cover your overdraft fees up to $200. Sign up with us. It's just like their main selling point is telling you to overdraft your motherfucking account with Chime. Come over here, mm-hmm. Please be financially irresponsible and overdraft your checking account with us. We'll cover you up to $200, but just keep running it up. There's probably a whole bunch of fees, so fuck Chime. That I just think it's hilarious.
So speaking of financially irresponsible, I have to give a huge, huge shout out to my oldest daughter, Cadence Rose, who is financially responsible because she saved $2,000 and she trusted Lynch Cree or Lobster Cree investments with her money. She shot $2,000 to her dear old dad and had him invest it into stocks for her. I just think that is the coolest thing ever. I never saved $2,000 when I was her age. Not sure I even have now. No, that's not true. But that is a large sum of money to save as a 17-year-old. And I'm so proud of her. And I told her as such, and to invest it. And I told her like how much when she starts at an age like that, how much like that can be worth. Like she can be a millionaire by the time she's 35 investing at 17. So just off investments, not doing anything else. So I'm very impressed with her. Huge shout out to my daughter, cause that is pretty sweet. And thanks for your help on that. Cause my guy over here is the stock whisperer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. Lynch Cree and Lobster Cree investments. This is not financial advice. But what I will say is shout out to Katie, because you know what? That is super awesome that she has the foresight to, be responsible enough and to make a smart decision, right? Like when you're young, like, fuck, dude, 17, I was thinking about fucking, we know what I was thinking about. I know you were thinking about the same thing. $2,000, bro. I'll light that on fire in one fucking weekend, bro. How much fucking Kron can I buy, and how much fucking goddamn Captain Morgan and Rolling Rock can I drink? I mean, dear Lord, I'll put $5 of that in the Focus, because that's how much it got me to fucking give me a half tank back in the day, and I'll fucking be out having the time of my life, bro. So shout out to her for doing that, dude. It's super awesome to see. And you know, it will, if she continues to add, she will reach those goals sooner than later. So I think that's fantastic. So shout out Katie, way to be responsible. Did you rub that off on her, or did she come at that on her own? I'm curious.
This is Pops. This is my dad.
Yes.
I think if she was working at Bella Brew, making really good money in tips, and I think my dad was like, all right, you have to give me 50% of that and I'll save it for you, and somehow she agreed to it. She's been doing really well, which I'm like, why didn't you push me? He probably did tell me, but I probably had no interest. I was definitely buying massive amounts of weed and ecstasy pills and whatever else I could get my hands on. So.
Dude, if my parents literally looked at me and were like, hey man, yeah, give me some money so I can save it away for you, I'd be like, what the fuck are we saving it for, dude? I got to go try to get some ass. I got weed to buy, bro. Like we're not doing this.
I remember I mowed my backyard, and this was before we landscaped it. So it was like overgrown weeds that were like 2 or 3 feet tall. I mowed the whole thing. It was pretty big, with like a regular push mower, and it was hella hard. I was like 13 years old, and my dad gave me a crispy $50 bill, which was an outrageous amount of money at that point in time. And I promptly bought a $50 eighth. And I got the fattest nug of the stankiest purple, and it was the most weed I'd ever seen in one place at one time at that point in my life, and it was the coolest thing ever. But that was my financial plan. $50, that means I get $50 worth of weed.
Exactly, dude, exactly. And there was something about that, dude. Like, you know, it's so funny you bring that up, like buying those what we thought were like big sacks, like, you know, like getting like an eighth.
Oh, I was
of weed.
Pablo Escobar, dude.
Eighth of weed felt like a fucking 2 ounces, bro. It literally did. Be like, dude, I'm gonna be able to smoke weed for fucking an entire year, dude. Like, this is gonna last for life. Like, and it
lasts
dude, it lasts a week for sure, dude. Speaking of Kron weed, did you ever smoke Gary Hannon weed, Alan Hannon's older brother weed?
Yeah,
bro, he stopped by the pickle stand today. I got to see old G Hannon, bro, rocking a fucking Gary Hannon pulls up, bro. I got a picture. I'll send it
Did
to
he
you.
Pull it's up me. With the 15 slapping?
Nah, dude, he didn't. But he.
Do you remember his Thunderbird?
Dude, the Thunderbird, bro. I think I have a fucking brain aneurysm from riding in that fucking thing. It was, dude.
Dude, what do you have? Did he have 2 15s or 4 15s in the
he
trunk?
Had 4 15s in the trunk, bro. I remember.
You could sit right next to each other and yell at the top of your lungs and not hear each other.
Dude, your eyeballs were vibrating, bro. He took us down. I remember one time he took us down to fucking Sailor Bar to whip donuts in that fucking thing with the fucking subs going off, dude. I was like, bro, I'm stoned and having a panic attack. I can feel my fucking heart fucking vibrating, dude. Like, dude.
Please let me out of here, dude.
Yeah, quit whipping donuts, dude. I know where I'm at. Let me be, bro. But yeah, Gary Hannon showed up, man. So for the sake of... good old Gary Hannon weed. Those were the good times, bro. Getting a Gary Hannon sack was elite back in the day. By the way, this podcast is supposed to be about recovery from substance abuse. Don't smoke weed; it's bad for you.
Hey, we're just telling you how it gets started.
That's true. It's true, dude. But there was one thing I did want to take.
Weed is a gateway drug.
It really is. Hey, dude, you know what? That's not a sizzling hot take because it totally is. It totally is. And if anybody wants to argue with me on that, like Henry and I will sit here and crucify you. I started with
smoking. Said it wasn't, and then we did all the other drugs.
Yeah, dude. It all started with weed, bro. Every single thing. Like I started with weed and then I started drinking, and then all of a sudden I started doing coke, and then I started doing ecstasy, and then I started doing mushrooms, and we know where that story went. But there was something I did want to bring up. And I just wanted to really hammer home. We've talked about it a lot on here, but dude, with this new chapter in my life, with my daughter going to kindergarten, Graham's now walking around, and you know, we have soccer practice and gymnastics and back to school nights and fucking work and life and everything. I found myself last week run a little ragged, right? Like just fucking dog dick tired and really fucking irritable and was getting a little squirrely. And I want to kind of highlight something that Henry does that has really helped me in these past couple weeks, and that is the importance of exercise. I have implemented 30 to 45 minutes, no matter what. If I can't even make it to the gym, now I'm doing backyard workouts. Like I'm working out at my house.
Fuck yeah.
Like if I have to, by any means, because you know what, dude, getting that little bit of sweat and fucking plugging in like some music or a podcast, breaking a sweat, getting your heart rate up, all of a sudden, about 10 to 20 minutes after you're done, get a little protein shake. I'm centered again. I'm centered again and everything's fine. And I really can't stress enough that if you're not doing that, please give it a try, because dude, this shit is fucking wild, bro. Like, especially if you have young children, it's fucking crazy, dude. There's no time for anything and especially no time for yourself, but you got to try to find it and you got to try to make it. I guess I don't really know where you're supposed to go with that, but I just wanted to stroke you because, dude, exercise is very important, and I see why all the best people kind of do it, because it's really helped me out, dude.
Yeah, I mean, the most successful people do it, and you know, I can hear our listeners like, "Well, I don't have time," and like, I hate to be this guy, but man, you make time for what's important, and there are ways to do it. One thing, like I was talking to Kristen about, Lyndon's in an after school program. So because we can't pick her up right, you know, when school's out. So like for parents that have that, bring your gym clothes to work, go to the gym, bang out a 30, 45 minute workout, and then pick up your kid or, you know, figure it out, make it work. But just some kind of like self-care, some kind of extra walking, jogging, whatever it is you do, biking or play pickleball, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, you can find a way to make it work. And I was talking to Kristen about that today because we were kind of feeling a little bit of the stress, anxiety, I don't know, depression, kind of like vibes. And we, you know, we traveled so much. I feel like we still haven't gotten back into our normal routine. It's also like one of those things where we've had something to do every single weekend. So today we didn't really. So it like felt weird. Like we should be doing something, but we didn't want to be doing something, you know?
Dude, doesn't that feel weird? sorry. I got to interrupt.
Yeah. Well, I also, I was raised with this guilt for sitting still and not doing things and I've had to like work on that a lot because I think it's important to sit still and not do things sometimes. Like it's your God-given right to relax once in a while, especially when you busted your ass all week and you did whatever else. Like take a little time and veg out, watch TV or lay out in the backyard or take a nap or whatever it is you do to like revitalize and recharge yourself. But I talked about, you know, one of the things I've heard a lot is motivation is not, I'm fucking gonna butcher it, but it doesn't start with motivation. You do the work, you start the thing, and then the motivation comes. Yes. And I find that true for me. Like today, I wanted to do stuff, but I didn't want to. So I went to the gym because I kind of like going to the gym and I always leave feeling better. And then my energy and whatchamacallits are up. Endorphins. And then I do stuff after I go to the gym. So like I pushed this back, but I, you know, went to the gym and then I had some errands to run and then I was ready to run them, but they don't sound very good until. And so I was talking to Kristen about getting back into the gym and she's kind of been like struggling with getting back into our routine since we've been gone so much. And I'm like, you just have to knock that first one out. You know, you just gotta, once you start going, you'll remember how good it feels and how much you like it. And then, but you gotta do the first one. This, like, we're not going to magically wake up all of us with some random motivation we didn't have before. But if you like, for me, the idea of starting the thing is always the hardest part. But once I start the thing, I'm into it. I'm ready. I'm going. I'm doing it. But you just have to like get started. And so whatever little cheat code you can figure out to trick yourself into whatever it is that you got to do, like just start. And then once you get rolling, the motivation comes behind it. But you're not necessarily just going to get a random blast of motivation from nowhere. You have to like do the uphill climb to get the thing started. And then you start going down the other easy side.
It's true, dude. It's true. And you know what? It's funny. Here's a classic stereotypical two white guys on a podcast. Gonna quote this guy, but I was listening to Huberman the other day. And it motivated me to like try to tell Ash the same thing, right? Because Ash doesn't have, you know, time is what she tells me. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, you know, we got to get you some sort of exercise. You got to have some sort of release. You know what I mean? Like, not saying she's out of shape or anything, but it's just like, you know, I want you around because there's like a secret anxiety of mine. I do not want to be the one who survives, you know, death. Like, I don't leave me. I want to die first for sure, bro. Like, I think I'm going to achieve that due to the damage that I did to my body for the fucking, like, you know, 16-17 years, but who knows. So I was just like, please, I want you around so that, you know, we each have a fighting chance together. But they were talking about, you know, like how this age that we're in, like, you know, like your 30s to like your 60s, how much you move and how much you take care of yourself in this time period is so fucking important. It's literally like it is the catalyst between you dying at 72 or you dying at 95. Like it really comes down to that. Like your mobility, your cardiovascular health, like the work you put in right now is going to determine how you live in those later years and how long. And so I was sitting here like, bro, like, dude, the last thing I want, I think I've mentioned it on here. The last thing I want is to be, hey, Cameron died by hip. I don't want to fall and break my hip and die and be like, dude, like, dude, that terrifies me. I don't want to be that guy. Like, I want to be able to move around. I want to look like SB, bro. Like, I want to be fucking thriving like SB. SB looks fucking fantastic for his age. Right. And so like, those are kind of my motivating factors. And, you know, it's, it's doing what you just said, right? It's getting that first workout done. And then once you do that, you're like, oh shit, this feels good. Then you kind of want to get that again. It's almost like chasing that first high, right? Like your endorphins are up, you're getting after it. And then all of a sudden you start the routine. You know what I mean?
And what happened here? We talked about doing a podcast for 2 fucking years and didn't do it. Dude, but once we did one, we did about 60 in a row once a week without fail.
Yeah. There you go. But you have to
bust that first one off.
That's the prime example, right? It's something new. It's something scary. Maybe it's something that you used to do and now you've fallen off of it and it's out of your quote unquote routine. Dude, that is fucking hard. And I get why you guys are feeling that way, bro. You guys were running around like fucking 2 rats in a fucking rat race cage, for the last like month and a half. I would imagine you guys feel a little out of sorts. I would. If I'm gone or I'm out of, that's why I feel wonky. Because I'm out of my routine. My daughter's on a different school schedule. I'm fucking having to do different things at different times. And it's not even anything, you know, super catastrophic, but it's not my norm. And so I'm fucking disheveled about it. And for people like me and you, that's kind of detrimental, bro. It fucks me up. Like, it fucks me up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of like a rigid kind of guy. Like, I need some structure. And when I don't have my structure, bro, like, I am fucked up. So adding that workout has really, really helped me. And I want to kind of do what Sketch Ed does. I want to see if I can bust out like a 5 a.m. one. People say the morning workouts are where it's at. You ever done that? Dude, I don't think I could do it.
Best.
Are they?
I haven't done it consistently, but you are a morning person. It would be great for you. Dude, there's nothing better than walking out of the gym at 7:30. You've already got that. You've got that endorphin high going on. You feel good. You feel like you're literally better than everyone else because you've already worked out. And then you're like ready. You got this clearness of mind. You're like ready to crush the day. And guess what else? When you're done with work, you have all that time to do whatever you want. And that doesn't include an hour and a half or whatever else it takes you to drive to the gym and back and whatever. Yeah. Shower at the gym, you're done there. Like, dude, it is, morning workouts are elite. I just don't like getting up early. I like staying up late. But when I randomly, like sometimes I'll wake up way before my alarm and I can't go back to sleep. And my rule is like, if I sit there for like 2 minutes and just my mind's already racing and I can't stop, I'm like, all right, I'm going to the gym. I head to the gym and dude, it just sets you up for an awesome day. I love it. You should try it.
Dude, that's what everybody says, bro. That's what everybody says. Like once again, another Huberman blast, but he was talking about some of his other doctor friends and like, dude, that's their deal. And it's for that reason. I guess it's like all day energy comes from it. Like it just like sets that fucking tone. Like these doctors will go on like, you know, 4 a.m. runs, 5 a.m. runs. Like, I guess there's something to that. Like Jocko works out at fucking 4:30 a.m. every day. You know what I mean? Like you're just getting after it. It sets the fucking tone for the day. I got to try it because I'm up at the crack of dawn no matter what. I mean, I guess I can read stock charts and ride my fucking elliptical bike in my garage. You know what I mean? And sit there and do that in the morning.
Dude, and that's the thing is like, it doesn't have to be this big thing. Ride your bike for 12 minutes, like ride your bike for 15 minutes, whatever you have time for. It doesn't have to be this big, like hour and a half, like intense, you know, whatever little thing you can do, like make that work.
Yeah, man. And I think we can get ourselves kind of like, you know, almost like kind of like Paul's episode, right? Like we can, it's different, right? It's something different. So we got to like create that habit. We got to try something new and we don't want to necessarily do that. I know I'm a big sufferer of that. And so I'm going to give it a shot, dude. I just got to muster up the energy. It just feels weird to me to like wake up first thing in the morning and just get after it. Like I have a routine of, you know, drinking my V8, reading stock charts, taking a shit, meditating and things like that. So, I mean, I guess I can sprinkle in, you know, working out and shit, but Kay, get after it.
That's cool. What is what we say in the rooms? Is it act your way into better thinking? Have you heard that?
I've never heard that one.
It's like, you don't have to, like, I am not a person who works out in the morning. Well, wake up, work out in the morning, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then you are a person who works out in the morning. You know, like you just do the thing, you act your way into better thinking. So I think I'm a piece of shit, whatever, but if I start to, you know, help at the homeless shelter or whatever, then I, it's yeah. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Do the thing first. You don't have to be that person that you think you're not in order to do the thing you want to do. You just start doing the thing, and then you are that kind of a person.
Yeah, and it sounds like that does come out of the fucking rooms. I've never heard it, but it's the catalyst for sobriety, right? Like that's the thing that people talk to me about all the time. Like, well, how did you do it? Be like, well, you know, it's kind of crazy. You just kind of fucking do it. Like there wasn't like any really like when you sit and think about when you first initially got sober, right? Like, dude, all you really have to do is not go to the liquor store or the drug dealer's house. And be okay with how you feel inside. It's literally like two tasks. It's so fucking hard. Like, I don't mean to like sugar.
The second one's hard.
The second one's real hard. And you just have to do that. And then the next day you got to do that again. And then all of a sudden, dude, it just goes away. Like, then all of a sudden it's not as hard. But it can get way overcomplicated. Like, it's so crazy how that works. And they'd be, well, what do you mean? Well, yeah, it's really that simple. You just don't go to the liquor store, bro. Like, you just don't do that. And you just got to kind of suffer through until it gets better. And I promise you it does.
It does indeed. Well, I got something for you, bud.
What do you got? Dude, it is time. It is fucking time. As you can tell, this episode is just kind of a wonky kind of little fun lunch. We're just kind of catching up. Next week we're gonna have my
good stuff coming up.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. Next week we have my cousin David. We're actually like 2 weeks apart. I guess fun fact about this, we both had my due date when I was supposed to be born was his birthday, and his due date was my birthday, and I was actually born on the 15th, and he was born on whatever day he was. So we're super close. Recovering heroin addict. Last time I saw him, I was working at Progress House. I was trying to get him in treatment. He was not looking good, and now he's got, I think, like 3 years. Going to be a really good story. So be excited for that. Now, we are going to talk some football.
The following week, I have another guest. She's a friend of mine. She's in my fantasy football league. She's a lawyer. She works with a lot of troubled youth. She works with a lot of addicts. And she also lost someone very important to her. That was a friend of mine as well. So we're going to talk about that. So we have some really good stuff. But we just had to get this one on wax because Austin insisted that we deliver a new unique episode, and Sketchad was pretty upset about the redrop too. We heard from both of them. So that makes them super fan 1A and 1B because they are the only person, I think, that reached out with outrage.
Yeah, dude. Tweedledee and Tweedledum, dude. Actually, Austin was so excited about me fucking going to a Michelin star restaurant. He hit me up. Did you know he used to be a sommelier? Yeah, he hit me up on a side text, dude. Hey, he used to be a sommelier out in Aspen, so I was sending him Dumb and Dumber beans and shit. We were going back and forth.
And he worked at the Greenbrier. Have you heard of the Greenbrier?
I have not.
It's in southern West Virginia, and like, they have facilities there. Like, when the 49ers had a big East Coast road trip where they played like the Jets and whoever, and they stayed at the Greenbrier for the 3 weeks that they were there. Because they have practice facilities. It's like this really nice like hotel and country club and whatever else. Yeah, and I think Austin worked there as well. So yeah, I remember when I thought I knew everything and was smarter than everyone, I was like trying to tell him he was cooking wrong up at the ladder, and he was like, dude, I fucking have worked around five-star chefs, bro. Shut the fuck up. we would passively aggressively to each other. I mean, I wouldn't do it if you want to do that. I guess, but that's not how I would do it, you know?
Oh, dude. Did he start busting out? Fucking...
out he hung out in five-star kitchens for fucking 15 years of his life.
Lo and behold, he's like a fucking Michelin sous chef, dude. So yeah, I thought that was super fucking cool, bro. But yeah, dude, new stuff coming. I'm super excited about the JC one. I think that's going to be really good, dude. I think that's going to be fun. And next week is going to be good, too. But there was something I wanted to do because football is upon us. So if you are not here for that, you can leave, I guess. But it's going to be fun to hear us sit here and talk about it. What I wanted to do is I wanted to go over our respective teams, I being a Raider fan and Henry being a 49er fan. I wanted to go through our schedule and hit a win-loss count. So what I'm going to do is I am going to read off the Raiders schedule. I am going to go win or loss. And Henry, I'm going to need you to take count of the wins and losses. Do you have paper?
I do.
Okay. Can you give me just wins and losses, tally them up? Okay.
I got you.
So week one for the Raiders, we got the Raiders at the Chargers. I'm going to go with an L. What do you got?
Smart.
Yeah. We always give the Chargers business, but I don't know what to expect with Harbaugh.
I don't know. You got a new team, new coach, all new receivers.
They have no fucking
receivers. You know, Ladd McConkey, is he the alpha? Josh Palmer is barely good enough to – he's okay. He's not great. He's not – and then they've got dusty old running backs.
Yeah.
Gus Edwards. And then J.K. Dobbins, who hasn't stayed healthy for once in his career. And they have a rookie, an exciting rookie, Kamani Vidal. So – I don't know, dude. That one's hard to call.
That is a hard one. What are you going to say?
I'm going to go opposite of you, and I'm going to go win.
Okay, look at you, Mr. Optimism. Well, here's one that we will agree on. Week two, September 15th, my brother's birthday. Raiders at Ravens. That's a big fucking L, bud. That's a big loss. That's a big loss. That's a hard one. 0-2 to start. I think we have hope here. But I would not be shocked. Panthers at Raiders. I'm going to say we win that game.
You know, the Panthers could have a new outlook. They could be new and they got an improved offensive line. They got an alpha receiver in Deontay Johnson, although maybe a little over the hill, a little older, but he's still the best wide receiver they have.
Yeah, but that depends on fucking Bryce Young being able to fucking get the ball to him. The Raiders defense isn't that bad.
Time last year. That's why I stress I'm not ready to give up on him. I think he didn't play well, but I think there was a lot of factors. I think it's possible that he's okay. I don't think he's going to break out and be CJ Stroud all of a sudden, but I think he could be better than he was last year.
Win or loss? What do you say?
I'm going loss as well.
I said win. I think we beat.
Wait, you said win?
Yeah.
I want to go loss.
Oh, so no. we got them 0-3.
No. No. I'm going to go win. I'm going to go win.
Okay. It's not looking good here. Browns at Raiders. This is a tough one. I'm going to go L.
Mm-hmm. Browns, their defense is really good. I'm going to go L as well.
Yeah, I don't think Minshew's not getting through that. And I think Deshaun Watson's going to tear us up. Okay. Raiders at Broncos. I'm going to give us a dub. We always kick the Broncos' ass and fuck the Broncos.
Broncos. I'm going to give you the dub as well.
Okay. Here's another one. Steelers at Raiders. Raiders always play the Steelers really hard. I'm going to go dub there. I don't trust Russ Wilson, and I think the Raiders are going to beat them. So, Kay, you can
I think
eat
the Steelers' offense is going to suck. That's going to be a defensive battle. You're going to win.
Raiders win that game.
Steelers.
Dude, is Kristen sitting over there staring?
That's going to be a 9-13 banger. You know what I mean? Or it's going to end 6-10. Yeah. I'm going to say you guys lose to the Steelers.
Okay. We have next the Raiders at the Rams, which is pretty much going to be a home game for the Raiders. I'm going to give us a dub there.
I'm going loss for sure. Their offense is going to be fire.
Okay. I'm just being optimistic just because of the environment. Raiders at the Chiefs at the Raiders is going to be an absolute skull fucking from the Chiefs to the Raiders. So that's an L. That's a loss.
Double L's.
Raiders at Bengals. If Burrow's healthy, I think that's a loss. So let's chalk another one up for the loss column.
I do think we have to get – they're going to win one game that they're not supposed to, Chiefs or the Bengals. But
I think that's going to be this next one, Raiders at Dolphins. I think they beat the Dolphins.
Dolphins. So you're giving a W to the Dolphins. And I'm going to go with a loss because you can't put up enough points to keep up with them.
Okay. That's probably pretty true. And Tyreek Hill is there. Next one, Broncos at Raiders. I think that's another win. Bo Nix is ass, and we always kick the Raiders' ass. Max Crosby always seems to get like 2 to 3 sacks a game.
You're going win. I'm going loss. I think the Broncos. Yeah, they got a good running back room. I think Bo Nix is okay. I'm just gonna, you should win, but you're not going to. I already gave you the last one. I'm not giving you two.
Okay. Raiders at
sweep the Broncos.
We sweep the Broncos. Raiders at Chiefs, and that's going to be another loss. I don't think they beat them this year. I just don't see it.
Okay, I wish they would.
I wish they would too. I hate them more than anybody. But okay. What do you say? What do you say, L?
I'm going loss. I'm going to go loss.
Yeah. Okay. Raiders at Buccaneers. I think the Raiders win that game. I like our chances there.
I like a sneaky disrupting Baker game, so I'll give you a W there as well.
Okay. Falcons at Raiders. I think the Raiders win that game as well.
Ooh. I'm big on the Atlanta
fail clowns, dude. Jaguars at Raiders. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to give us another dub there. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence.
Loss.
Okay. All right.
I can't believe how much money they paid that guy. It's absurd. Yeah,
to do nothing. excuse me. And the last two, Raiders at Saints. I think that's a dub.
I'll give you a dub there.
Okay. And the season ender, Chargers at Raiders. I'm not going to get swept by the Chargers. I think the Raiders win that game.
So you went with a loss on the first one and a win now, and I did the opposite, and I'm going to do the opposite again and say you lose this one.
Okay, what are we at? What are my predictions?
Cam has you at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, bro. You're high.
No, I'm high as fuck, dude. I'm high as fuck.
I'm shipping you a drug test.
Dude, I was trying to be pessimistic too, but fuck, dude, I can't help it. Oh, dude, that's awesome. Yeah, they're definitely not winning 11 games.
My guy has them at 11-6.
That needs to be fucking flip-flop, dude. I think they're 6-11.
Now bring it back to Earth. I have them at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have them at 5.
5, they're going to be better than 5 wins, dude. They're going to be better than 5 wins, bro.
3, 4, 5. Okay, they're somewhere in between our two estimations.
Yeah, I think they get 6 or 7. I think they get 6 or 7.
Wait,
but according
is it 17 games or is yeah, it 16 17. In a bye week? 17. 17. So 17. I have them at 5-12. You have them at 11-6.
Yeah,
they're really gonna be 7-10.
Yeah, I think that's a really good guess. That's a good prediction, actually. 7-10.
I wonder what their Vegas win total is.
I wonder what it is, too. That would be really interesting. I got the 49ers schedule
up. I'll bet you it's 6.5. Raiders win total.
I think it's 7.5.
6.5. It's a hell of a line.
Ooh.
It's a hell of a line.
I'm smashing that. 7. Dude. I'm smashing that. I like it. I think I'm going to hit that.
I could see it happen. I could see it happen.
Dude, Minshew might be able to pull some shit out of his ass, dude. He's a wiggly guy.
He's all right. He's all right. The 49ers are favored in every single game this year. Isn't that wild? Okay.
I don't know if I believe that, but I'm not favored.
They
them.
Are. I mean, in fact, in Vegas, yeah. I mean, like the Vegas lines has them favored for all 17 games.
Well, I believe that. I believe that. So here we are with the 49ers schedule, all right? Here we go. Opening up week one, we have the Jets. Jets.
Dude, that's a tough one.
You know what, dude? Don't hate me for
their
this.
Their defense is really good.
And Rodgers can still sling it. I'm actually going to think, I think the Jets win that game. Brock Purdy didn't look that good against the Raiders, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's preseason, but
you didn't have any really starters or anything. Yeah. You know, I don't think I'm going to give us a lot of losses this year, so maybe I'll chalk that one for an L as well. Try to sprinkle in a little realism.
Okay. And then we go week two for 49ers at the Vikings. That's a dub.
Oh yeah, that's a fucking smash fest.
49ers. Sam
Darnold throws four interceptions.
Four interceptions. Week three, 49ers at Rams. A little good old division battle. What do you think?
We always beat the Rams. I'm going W. I think Shanahan is 8-0 against the Rams.
He is, but wouldn't that
you
wouldn't
going
that,
loss or win?
I'm going win. I'm going win. Okay. I'm going win. Patriots at 49ers. I think that's another dub.
That's another 14-plus point dub.
Cardinals at 49ers. I think the Cardinals give you a fit and you lose that game.
You know, I am going to have to sprinkle. No, that's a win. Nope.
Okay.
I'm not doing it. That's a win.
Okay.
There's also this part of me that, and I wonder if you felt this, but, you know, all sports fans are a little superstitious. So yeah. I can't comfortably sit up here and just, like, wish L's upon my team.
No.
It doesn't feel right.
Well, obviously, dude, I think the Raiders are going 11-6. I mean, what the fuck is that? following week, we have 49ers at Seahawks. I'm going to chalk that up to a dub.
I'm going to give that a dub, too, but maybe we'll split the series later on.
Okay. Let's see if he's going to be realistic on this one. Chiefs at 49ers. I think you lose that game.
Oh, dude, we got that one circled on the fucking schedule. They're going to smash them. Mark my words.
All right, well.
Taking Niners +7 for the plus money.
Okay, well, they can't do it when it counts, so it doesn't really matter, does it, pal?
No, it doesn't.
No.
Fuck you.
You brought the Kree curse on you last year. 49ers at Cowboys. A good old rivalry game. I think you win that game.
We always beat the Cowboys as well.
49er, what do you
maybe got? They have it circled. Maybe they actually bring it to us.
Yeah.
I'm going to go win.
Okay.
And I'll go back and adjust it when I figure out that I have us for 15-2.
Okay. 49ers at Bucks. I think that's another win.
That's a win. We're going to also lose a game that we shouldn't. And like, yeah. I get the feeling it's like the Patriots or something, but
I have a feeling it's going to be this one right here. I'm going to agree with you. Seahawks at Niners. I think the Seahawks come in, maybe fired up, maybe give you maybe kick their ass the first time they come in. Maybe you're a little trepidatious.
That's what I said. Split the series. Yeah, it's all division games are always tough.
Tricky. So I think you lose to the Seahawks.
I'm going to give that an L as well.
Okay. Next one, following one is another really good one. 49ers at Packers going to Lambeau. Now this could be a loss. This could be another one. I actually am going to give you a loss here. I think you lose.
I am as well, just because they probably also have it circled on the schedule the way we have the Chiefs circled on the schedule. And I got to be realistic. I got to sprinkle some in here. So
yep.
I'll go with a loss as well.
49ers at Bills, December 1st. We got weather in there. Going to be a cold one. That's a tough one. I don't really know what to make of the Bills this year. I'm going to go with a win, though. I think you win.
I think I'm going to go with a win as well.
Okay. Following
they're looking
week,
like a bit of a mess.
Yeah, they're looking like a mess, dude. They're firing their coach this year for sure.
Bears. Samuel got turfed.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't buy it. So Bears at 49ers. Does zesty Caleb Williams come through and beat you guys?
So me and my buddy Durka, when we text about football exclusively and nonstop, and when we text about Caleb Williams, we just use the fingernail polish emoji. But I'm going to say they shock the world and they beat us because they found their groove. Their rookies are pumping. O'Dunes is balling out. Williams,
they got a good receiving core. They got a good receiver core.
Really good.
I actually think you take
Fat Keenan Allen.
Fat Keenan Allen. I think you take a loss there too. Put me down for an L.
Okay.
Rams at 49ers, I think you, shit. I think you win that game.
Okay. I got to sprinkle some realism in here. I'm going to split the series and say we lose.
Okay. I'm interested to see what you're going to say here. 49ers at Dolphins. Another Shanahan coaching tree matchup. I think you lose that game.
I gotta be realistic, because realistically, our win total, I'm going to guess our win total is at 10.5, which we'll check after this, but I'll give it an L as well.
Okay.
Actually, the Dolphins don't play well in cold weather, though, but it won't be in cold weather, because it'll be in either San Francisco.
Okay. And now we're at the final two here. This should be a real good game. Lions at 49ers. You guys got a kind of a tough schedule. You guys got a pretty tough schedule, actually.
I'm going to say they have us stat circled on the schedule with fucking X'd out and arrows and fire.
Okay. I think you win that game.
Cam's going to give us a dub. Okay.
And
finally,
an ender, 49ers at Cardinals. I think you win that game.
Buddy boy. We got Jesus Christ, dude. Packers, Bills, Bears, Rams, Dolphins, Lions, Cardinals.
The back end of your schedule is rough, bro.
That would have been really easy. 5 years ago, that would have been the easiest schedule possible. But in this current, God, we better start hot, because we got a gauntlet for the end.
You're going to have to finish fucking strong, dude, because the back end of your schedule is no joke. No joke. Seven. So where are we at?
So Cam, you have us at 10-7. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I also have us at 10-7.
Look at that.
I'm impressed. Guessing our Vegas win total is 10.5, so we would need 11 to cover. 49ers.
What do we got? Is,
11.5.
Look at that, dude.
Being too generous. All right, fuck that. We don't lose to the Hawks. Take that away. Well, see, look, I put us for that we lose Bears, Rams, Dolphins, Lions. That's four in a row. There's no chance.
Yeah.
There's no chance that we lose all them games in a row, and we're going to beat the Dolphins, I've decided. So that puts me at 12-5. That being realistic bullshit.
The on-air amendments. Well, there you go. It actually goes to show there that I'm still a homer.
One
because
I'm still listening.
there's someone listening. Sketch has definitely listening. Sketch has over here like, yeah, that's a win, that's a loss. Sketch has likes to throw a little cheddar on some games. But yeah, dude, that was fun.
Give me a bold prediction. Give me a hot take.
A hot take? I actually think, I guess this isn't really a sizzling take, but I think everyone's kind of talking about it. I think the Bears are going to be a lot better than everybody thinks, dude. I think the Bears have a chance to be pretty fucking good, dude. Like, they have a lot of weapons, bro.
I'm telling you, Caleb Williams looks Mahomes-esque already.
Yeah, dude.
DJ Moore is awesome. Keenan Allen, older, but I don't think he's washed. And also, Romo Odunze, top 10 pick, one of the best, I mean, top two, top three wide receiver picks out of college. And also, it's going to be probably pretty easy for Keenan Allen to get open when they also have to guard Odunze and DJ Moore. I mean, and they have three running backs that are all decent, you know, Smith and or DeAndre Swift and Herbert and somebody else. And yeah, dude, here's a hot take for you specifically. What about Brock Bowers, offensive rookie of the year?
You know what, man? I think that's completely possible. That dude is a fucking unit, bro. That dude
he's
is
a generational
stud.
Talent.
Yeah,
that came dude in is as a freshman and sat NFL current NFL receivers that were drafting in the top five rounds, fucking sunned them with his performance and numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame we don't have a quarterback to throw to him.
Also, I think everyone thinks the Cardinals are going to suck, but their offense, man, with Kyler back and McBride and Marvin Harrison Jr., they're probably going to be chucking because I don't think their defense is that good. But I think their offense is going to be surprisingly decent. They got James Conner, and they got a really good running back prospect. They drafted Trey Benson.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be better than what people think.
Dude, I'm not a fucking Kyler Williams. I'm not a Kyler fucking fan, dude. I'm not with him, dude. I'm not with him. Maybe it's because he like was drafted by the A's and then decided to play football, which I can't blame him. But I don't.
Dude, I was thinking about that today. Did they lose that pick? Like that pick was just.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah.
Vanished because he was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't give me take backsies.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah. So
their win total is 6.5.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and here's another sizzling hot take. The Raiders are not going 11-6. So don't listen to my picks. Also, the 49ers are not winning the Super Bowl. So there you go. You're not making it back this year. I think someone's coming. I don't think you make it back to back this year.
49ers Ravens Super Bowl.
49ers Ravens?
Yeah.
Okay. I like the Ravens. I like that. Out of the NFC though. Shit.
How many touchdowns does Derrick Henry score on the Ravens?
12.
I like that number.
12.
I'm about right there. 12-14.
Yeah.
Because 12. The Ravens running backs last year had the most red zone touches out of any team. So think about when you're putting the ball in the stomach of the king.
Yeah.
He's going to be knocking them over.
Except my fucking confidence in their play calling is absolutely fucking diminished due to the fact that they did the exact opposite of that when they were playing the goddamn Chiefs.
That was wild.
Yeah. It's just because it was scripted.
Someone phoned Vegas, and I'm not mad about it. Someone phoned Vegas and said, hey, Henry took the over on Lamar's rushing. We know that's how you've been winning games all fucking goddamn year long, but don't let the kid run. Do not let him run. I know the receivers are covered and the lane's wide open, but make sure he doesn't fucking run.
Let's make sure he throws more passes than he ever than he has all season. I couldn't believe this
game. Let's just do something completely different than what's worked all year.
Well, let's do the exact opposite of what got us here.
Mm-hmm. Just like Shanahan. Oh, the Chiefs have a weak run D and a strong secondary. Well, we better not give it to the offensive player of the year, Christian McCaffrey. Let's just throw it to our third string receiver, Jawan Jennings.
Dude, that honestly, that was back to back. You guys basically did the same shit that the fucking Ravens did. Like refused to lean on your running game. Like I couldn't believe that. I guarantee you, if you handed off the ball to McCaffrey more in that fucking Super Bowl, you win that fucking game. Guaranteed.
That's because the Taylor Swift mafia insisted that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they probably will again this year. Watch. I mean, and hell will freeze over.
I might have to quit football.
If the Chiefs win another Super Bowl,
summer that it's not on.
Dude, if the Chiefs win another Super Bowl, I don't know if I can like mentally take that. Like, I don't know if I can like mentally take it.
I can't.
If they could
win it on their own without help, I would be fine with it. But they're not.
They've never had
an offensive holding call called on them in the Super Bowl. In any of them.
That's unfucking believable, bro. That's unbelievable.
It's unreal.
I can't even talk about it. My blood pressure is raising, dude. Like for real.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
literally gonna go into AFib over here.
All right. Okay,
let's get the fuck out of here.
No one's listening anyway. Let's get out of here.
Oh, dude. Hey, who knows, man?
Do you have a quote?
I can find one really quick. I don't have one.
Hey, if you're listening and you like football content, send us a text or a message or whatever. Maybe I'll put it in the poll. Should we talk about football or not? And if you say no, we're probably gonna not care and do it anyway. But just curious to know.
It's true.
If anyone is interested in our football ramblings. Okay, who you got winning the Super Bowl real quick?
The Chiefs.
No.
It's definitely not the 49ers. I'm gonna give the people
my division winners parlay that I have for the year long, okay? And you can tell this if you'd like. This is not financial advice.
Oh, okay.
But we have.
You're like the Lynch Cree of betting, so I like to take your advice.
We have for the these are division winners. So I have the Jets winning the AFC East. Because okay. The Bills crumble. They're all new squad. They lost all their receivers.
Over
Jets
the Dolphins? The East.
Yep. Okay. They can't play football in the cold. Dude, Aaron Rodgers comeback tour, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, the two of the best offensive players in the fucking, and their defense is like the best top three defense. They almost made the playoffs with no quarterback last year.
True. It's true.
Like they had a cone at quarterback and they almost made the playoffs. That's how good their defense is.
They were cones. Okay?
Houston Texans, AFC South. It's pretty simple. Kansas City Chiefs, AFC West. Pretty simple. You don't have to squint your eyes. Atlanta Falcons, NFC South. You know, they have to get through the Jags, but I think they do it. And the San Francisco 49ers to win the NFC West. That is a $40 wager that pays out $1,082.
You know what? A lot of that's pretty chalk, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
The Jets are plus 240 when I got them. They're not that high anymore. I was early with this one. I think they're down to like plus 150. Texans are plus 105. So maybe who would be in the AFC South favorite over them?
No one.
I guess, yeah, right. But see, the Chiefs are minus 230.
The Colts?
Yeah. Anthony Richardson might go ham. Falcons minus 120, San Francisco minus 210. That New York Jets that I got in early is what really pumps up the number there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I might lay that. That I have no problem putting some wood down on that. I mean, it's like I said, it's pretty chalk, but I think it's possible. I think it's possible. But there's always a fucking surprise, and I don't know who the surprise is going to be this year. It's going to be somebody, someone. I think it's going to be the Jets or the Bears. Yeah. I think so.
Look, I just reused the selections. The Jets are only plus 155 now.
Yep. Actually, ready? I got them at, you know who's going to win the Super Bowl? You know who's going to win the Super Bowl? I'm taking it back. The Lions, for the sake of everybody.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I would love that. I would love if the Lions won the fucking Super Bowl, bro. The Lions.
For the city?
Yeah, for the city. Same as, like, I always wanted the Bills to win, too. Like, I just for Bills Mafia. Like, they're just so passionate. Like, I wanted them to beat the Chiefs, and he could just never do it. So I found a quote real quick, and let's get the fuck out of here. You ready? Creeran's quote. If you are acting like a sheep, do not blame the shepherd. You cannot herd lions. Wake up and roar, and you are free. By Papaji. I don't know who Papaji is, but hey, wake up and roar. You're a motherfucking lion.
Papa G.
Papa G, dude.
Wolves don't concern themselves with the thoughts of sheep, baby. Let's go.
Go and get it, dude. Go and get it. Well, nothing's really changed. We still don't post on social media. We still don't do anything. Yeah, go like some shit. And we have, like I said, some really good episodes coming up. We're getting back in the groove of things like we talked about earlier.
Rate this podcast if you haven't. Follow it. Share it with a friend.
Yeah, and like we just talked about, it's been getting back into a new routine. So we found a new schedule that's going to work for us. We're going to be a lot more regular. So all our dedicated listeners, thanks for sticking around. And I hope Henry's funky title tricked you and you got to listen to Jeremy's episode one last time. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, Henry?
That episode was fire, and it didn't get enough run the first time. True. We absolutely loved that guest and everything he had to say, and it did not get the love it deserved. So that's why we redropped it. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. That's all I got.
All right.
We do have two hot heaters coming your way, so be excited. We're back to our normally scheduled programming. We had a funky summer, a hot girl summer, brat girl summer, but we are back.
Live Daddy and direct.
Daddy Lob are back.
Yes. So I will finish it like I always do. Hen, it's very good to see you here. I'm sorry the GameStop guy gave you such a hard time reading off all that bullshit.
You know, I'm a little bit bummed that we're changing our recording day to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're doing, Wednesday?
That's what we're doing.
Because recording the podcast straight into Thursday Night Football was maybe the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, let me give you a little bit
time.
Let me tell you, we'll be back on Thursdays. It's just for like her soccer season is like a month and a half long. It's just for the soccer season. Right. Yeah. I
that
got
way
out.
I can be distracted when we run long and pay attention to my TV over here while and ignore our guest.
No, it's like a double treat, right? Like, oh, hey, I get to do the podcast, have a nice combo with Hen or whoever the hell we're interviewing. It's awesome.
I shut it off.
I get to go watch football and eat. No, dude. So yeah, it's very short. The coach actually asked. He was telling everybody. He's like, okay, do you want to do Tuesday practices or Thursday practices? Because this coach doesn't know what the fuck he's doing and he's kind of weird. And I was like, I vote for Tuesday. And every single other parent was like, Thursdays. And I got outvoted. So that's why we're recording. Okay. Anyways, all right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Won't affect you and you the listener at all, but it's
our schedule's fucked. So all right, Hen, well, like I said, we'll redo this again. I love you very much. Very
tell
good
me
to
you
see
love
you.
Me, you son of a bitch.
I love
yeah,
you
didn't tell me sexy. Love me.
I didn't tell you.
Look, you said something but you didn't say I love you.
All right, well, hey Hen, I love you very much. Very good to see you, brother, and I can't wait for our very fun interview this week.
I love you too, Cam, and remember, the Raiders won't go 11-7, but the 49ers will. And be yourself and have overconfidence in the things you love, like Cameron. And fuck what they think.
And next Sunday, go and stop by my brother's pickle bar because they're selling pickles like fucking hotcakes. Later, dude. The Raiders are definitely not going to.